So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Ukraine continues their push on with major cross-border advances into Russia's Kursk region for the second week. And they say they have taken more ground and captured more Russian prisoners and destroyed a bomber in attacks on military airfields. Let's go to Ukraine for the latest from Joseph Lindsley. Joe, I was thinking about these prisoners that have been captured there. Do you think that could be part of a future swap or maybe even part of a peace deal there?
Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. Certainly, there's hope that this could be part of a swap. In fact, Ukrainian officials have explicitly expressed their hope for this, and now they have banked quite a number of Russian prisoners, including there was a capture of 100 Russians surrendered to Ukrainians en masse. 100, that's the biggest single surrender on either side in these past 2.5 years, so a huge number. And it's actually causing some logistical problems for Ukrainians to find places to put these guys. So we're seeing multiple cases of Russians surrendering there. And Ukrainians have explicitly said, yes, they hope this will, you know, encourage Russia to have another prisoner swap. But when it comes to the bigger question of victory and peace and negotiating, I think that, you know, that's more of a higher stakes thing. It's about who has the upper hand. And I think as we look at what Ukrainians are doing in Kursk, they are continuing to advance. It's been fairly easy. It's still difficult, and Ukrainian soldiers have been killed, but it's been fairly easy. And Ukrainians are also building fortifications to sort of entrench the ground that they have gained. They are getting closer to that Russian nuclear power plant. And there's some sort of just chatter at this point. But if Ukrainians were able to take that Russian nuclear power plant, well, maybe then they try to say, hey, why don't we swap? Why don't you give us back our nuclear power plant way down in the south in Zaporizhia? But that's still just speculation. And I think, you know, as I said yesterday, a lot of people are Ukrainians are closely paying attention to see if Russia will try what is Russia going to try to do, especially, if Ukraine continues to have this success on Russian soil, how is Russia going to respond? We've seen a few attempts at Russia trying to, change the narrative a few days ago with the fire at the Russian-controlled nuclear power plant down in Zaporizhia. That turned out to be a non-story. It was not a fire that threatened anything, and people, even the press, sort of dismissed it. And so we see these different attempts to change the narrative. And I think we have the newest and latest one today. Wall Street Journal had an exclusive story with this headline: "A drunken evening, a rented yacht, the real story of the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage." And we have this developing information from Germany that German prosecutors are accusing Ukrainians of having blown up the Nord Stream pipeline from Russia to Germany in September of 2022. And so, according to the story, it was a group of Ukrainians were drinking in 2022 in September and said, hey, let's get together and blow up the pipeline, in the Baltic Sea. And they got a diving coach and they went to Sweden. And then from there, they rented a yacht. Allegedly, and then blew up the pipeline. But it's extremely interesting. We still don't know, how much of this is true. And there's a lot of information swirling around. But I find it extremely interesting that this story, this happened in 2022, that right now, this week is the week that that story is released, with a deep investigation, and that the German prosecutors from a region in Germany say that they're looking, they have an arrest warrant for a guy called Volodymyr Z. Who's Volodymyr Z? It's just absolutely bizarre. But they say a guy called Volodymyr Z, who's somewhere in Poland, they say. So it's not Zelensky. But, why right now would this be the moment? When also the headlines you know, would be today about Ukraine's continued success in Kursk. Like, you know, about the headlines probably would be about 100 Russian prisoners surrendering very easily to the Ukrainians. But instead, it's about Ukrainians, attacking this pipeline. And so maybe this is, yet another, Russian sort of attempt at narrative control. And so this is, one thing we're watching. According to the story, Zelensky was in favor of blowing up the pipeline, but the CIA told him, no, you can't do it. And so he tried to stop it. But then General Zaluzhny, who was then the commander in chief, allegedly said, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. But again, we don't know what the real information is here. And some background on the pipeline. When Trump was president in 2019, Trump put sanctions on anyone who was involved in creating this pipeline between Russia and Germany. And so he was actually trying, the Trump administration was trying to stop Europe from getting, having this access to Russian gas and being so reliant on Russian gas. And this really angered Germany. Angela Merkel was then the chancellor. And they were furious at the Trump administration because they wanted this source of gas and source of revenue. And when President Biden took office a few months after, in 2021, President Biden lifted the sanctions on Russia. And so Russia was able to continue with the development of this gas pipeline. And it was due to go into full operation right about on February 24th, 2022, when Russia began its full-scale invasion. So it's an interesting twist on the narrative because so many people, assume that necessarily the Trump administration was always helping Russia. But we see here that they actually stood against Russia and angered Germany, and something that the Biden team reversed. But now we have this news that, maybe it was this, who knows, but a plan developed over alcohol executed by six Ukrainians on a rented yacht. Meanwhile, whatever we do don't know about that, what we do know is that Ukrainians are continuing to advance into the Kursk region of Russia. Russia, meanwhile, the attacks in Donbass in the east of Ukraine are still intense. It seems that there's been a bit of an increase in intensity in the Russian bombardment of those villages and towns in Donbass, and the Russians are still making progress on the ground. In fact, they just took a little part of a village called New York, actually. New York, Ukraine. It was created in the 1800s. It was an American investor who came here to mine in Ukraine, and he named it after New York. But they are making some progress. But we're hearing reports from Ukrainian soldiers that, as difficult as it is in Donbass, the news of what's happening in Kursk is giving them a great morale boost. And I suspect, even in some quiet way, even if, even if it was six drunk Ukrainians who blew up the Nord Stream, that would give people a boost too. That's not a bad story.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not bad at all. Let me share an email with you. Since Joseph has mentioned Russian propaganda, I'd like to recommend that he read How to Win an Information War by Peter Pomerantsev. He grew up in a Russian dissident that was expelled from the Soviet Union. Pomerantsev has written two other books about modern Russia. Thank you for your daily conversations with Joseph. I've been known to tell family members to be quiet if they talk when I'm listening to his daily reports. And that's from one of your big fans, Marla.
Well, thanks, Marla, and I'm going to download that book in my Kindle, so maybe I can offer a book report next week on Peter Pomerantsev's. I've heard many great things about that. He has a deep insight into the machine of Russian propaganda, so I'll try to report back.
Book reports, analysis, and weird stories. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Watch out for Vladimir Z. until tomorrow.
Weird stuff.